Before we start today, I want to ask you a question. And we'll consider this kind of like your a public service announcement. Fair enough. Everybody needs a little help every now and then. How many of you have a will prepared for when you die? How many have a will for when you die? It's good if you do. If you don't, you need to do it. You really do, because if no one's told you, you're going to die. Welcome to church, where we're here to make you feel good about yourself. A fun, friendly message for your entire family. When you think about it, Jesus kind of had a will, and he named you in his will. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. That was your public service announcement. This is the introduction to the message. Today, I want to talk to you about peace, because I just reminded you that you're going to die, and so you need some peace. How many of you have ever said, "I'd give anything for a moment of peace"? Because I know your life is a lot like mine. You got crazy schedules. You've got bills to pay, house to clean, food to cook, dishes to do, emails to return, texts to make, difficult people to deal with. How many of you have difficult people to deal with? If you say, "I don't have any difficult people to deal with," then you're the one, right? So all of us have so much going on that we need a little bit of peace. I want to remind you that before Jesus died, he named you in his will. Romans 8 tells us we're actually heirs of God. And Jesus mentioned three different things that he willed. What did he will? Well, let me show you. On the cross, Jesus willed his mother to John. Remember that? He's dying, and he said basically, "Hey, behold thy son, behold thy mother, John. Take care of my mom. I'm trusting her to you." The second thing Jesus willed was his spirit to his father. He said, "It's finished. I've done everything that you've sent me to do. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He willed his spirit to the Father. And to you, Jesus willed his peace. He willed his mom to John. He willed his spirit to his Father. And Jesus willed his peace to you. And he shows this in John chapter 14 when he was telling his disciples, "Hey, I'm going to have to go away, but I'm going to come back to you." And he said this, "When I go away, I want you to know, peace I leave with you." And then he said, "My peace I give you." And he's going to explain to them, "This is unlike any peace you've ever tried to find in this world." He said, "I do not give you the peace that the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled." He said, "And do not be afraid." Five words in that verse that has the potential to change your life. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." And the peace that he gives is a different kind of peace. Because Jesus said he doesn't give the peace that the world gives. But there's a different kind of peace. You see, there is kind of what we might call a worldly peace and a godly peace. And there's a big difference. A worldly peace is kind of like a pseudo peace. It's temporary. It helps you cope. It's kind of like the drug will promise you. If you smoke the wacky weed, you'll feel that peaceful, easy feeling, right? The drug promises to get you high and you feel good for a little while. And then you screw up your life. Nobody said amen. None of you ever smoke the wacky weed? Wow. Praise the Lord. We've got holy people here today. The drink tells you, you can drown your sorrows in the drink. Vacations tell you, hey, if you're just on the beach, if you're in the mountains, you can have that relief. And vacations help for a little while. But then you come back and you're still you. It's hard, right? You think, if I have a little more money, I'll finally have some peace. You get a little more money. It actually helps you pay the bills. And you can be nice and generous to people, but there's not enough money in the world to fill that void that you have on the inside. So worldly peace, it's different than a heavenly peace or a godly peace. So what is godly peace? You can find it described in Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to give you the context. Isaiah was prophesying into a culture that is much like ours. You could almost say it was the equivalent then of a complicated economy with high interest rates, with wars and rumors of wars. And Isaiah prophesied into a culture with great uncertainty, and everybody was afraid. And he says, in the middle of this, you're going to break out into real worship, and you're going to have this heavenly peace. Here's what he said. He prophesied, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous and allow the faithful to enter. And then the prophet declares these words, you will keep in perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, God, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. How many of you want some of that? Perfect peace. Perfect peace. The word peace actually comes from a Hebrew word. It was a Jewish greeting. You walk up to someone and they say, shalom. It's kind of like, what's up? Like, yo, dog. Like, God bless you. It's shalom. It's the way you say hello. Shalom. And it means wholeness. It means completeness. It means fullness of peace. If I came up to you and said shalom, I'm saying, may you have the fullness of the peace of God. May you be at peace with other people. May you be at peace with yourself. May you be at peace with your circumstances. Even if they're not what you would want nor what you would choose. But because God is good and because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, may you be at perfect peace. Because in the original text, when Isaiah said, may you be kept in shalom, he didn't just say shalom, he actually said shalom, shalom. The same word two times back to back. He's saying, may God give you a double portion. May God give you your peace and even more than your peace. And the translators translate it as perfect peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give you." And some of you might say, "Okay, thanks, Jesus, but if you're giving me your peace, why am I still so anxious?" Anybody relate? Why do I still feel overwhelmed? And let me just kind of ask some questions here. Can I really have your peace when I'm married to Mr. Butthead? Do not elbow the person sitting next to you. Look straight ahead and pretend like you don't even know what I'm talking about, right? Can I have real peace when my kid is hanging out with the wrong crowd and I'm pretty sure they're doing some things that are dangerous? Can I be peaceful then? Can I really have a peace from heaven when my best friend not only let me down, but betrayed me and lied about me? Can I have peace when the doctor gives me some news that I never wanted to hear? Can I have peace when there's a lot more month left than there is money? Can I have peace when my heart is beating and I can't even catch my breath and I feel so anxious? How do I find this peace? The prophet tells us, and scripture says this, you will keep in perfect peace. Now, notice what it doesn't say. Doesn't say you will keep in perfect peace all those who obsess about the news. Doesn't say that, right? Doesn't say you'll be kept in perfect peace all those who look at everything that ticks you off on social media and you send it to all your friends so they can get mad right along with you. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody here knows. Scripture says you'll be kept in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on God. You'll be kept in the heavenly kind of peace, the peace that this world would not understand when your thoughts are fixed on God. This verse shows us that the battle for peace begins in our mind. The battle for peace begins in your mind. How many of you would say sometimes you have a war going on in your mind? It's ridiculous. Like, I'm a preacher guy, right? I've been doing this for a long time, and so I should have it down. And I can tell you all day long the promises of God and believe they're true for you. And then sometimes I have a hard time believing they're true for me. It's a war in my mind. You'll be kept in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on God. The word fixed is a cool word in Hebrew. It's the word shamak, and you know, don't let me shamak you. That's not what it makes me think. Not at all. It means to lean on completely. This is what it means. It means to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. That's what this word means. You'll be kept in perfect peace when your mind is leaning on God's truth. You'll be kept in perfect peace when your thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises. You'll be kept at perfect peace when your mind is fixed on the truth, the power of God's goodness, His promises for you. And so, I just want to ask you, and I want you to be dead honest, what's your mind fixed on? What's your mind fixed on? Because oftentimes, mine gets fixed on the worst case scenario. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can have dreams in the middle of the night, and I get caught in a bad dream. Like, I literally wake up, and I go back to sleep, and I'm still stuck in that bad dream. It's like my mind gets stuck on these repetitive lies and fears, and I get anxious from it. What is your mind fixed on, and why does it matter? Well, because what consumes your mind controls your life. And maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:8. He said, fix your thoughts on what is true. What does God say is true about you? What does God's word say is true about the situation that you face right now? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And almost everything you read and almost everything you hear is the opposite. Fix your minds on what you should be afraid of. And fix your minds on what could go wrong. And fix your mind on what he said or what she said and why they should be canceled and why that's wrong and why this is bad and why are countries going to hell in a handbasket and why that person's wrong and that preacher did this and scripture says that. Fix your mind on what is pure and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then when you fix your mind on the things of God, then the God of peace will be with you. Five words that could change your life. Jesus says, my peace I give you. He said, my peace. Jesus isn't just giving you a peace, he's giving you his peace. It's a peace that this world doesn't understand. My peace I give you. Last week, we talked about the disciples that were in a boat. You remember that? And a big storm blows up. And what do the disciples do? Same thing we do. Freak, 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 freak out. Scary, 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 scary. Jesus is in the boat, and we're still scared. Okay? What's funny about that is there's two storms that day. There's like the visible storm on the outside, and then there's the invisible storm on the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but it's the storm on the inside that hits me the hardest. Two storms that day. The storm on the inside, the disciples are like going, Jesus, don't you even care? Do you even know what we're going through? That's what we get sometimes. Like, Jesus, do you even know all that I've done for you? And you're leaving me out here in this mess? Jesus, where are you? And Jesus gets up, and what does he do? What does he say? What word does he say to the storm? He says what? He says, peace. Peace be still. Now, I'm going to ask you an easy question. And this is not a trick question. When did Jesus say peace? What was going on? During the storm. It was during the storm, and that's what Jesus shows us. His perfect peace does not mean you won't have bad days. Perfect peace doesn't mean that. It doesn't. What it means is, it doesn't mean that Jesus is not with us, that when things get tough, it doesn't mean you won't have troubles. It It doesn't mean your heart's not going to get broken. It doesn't even mean there are going to be days where you feel like, you just don't have the physical strength to go on. But this is a different kind of peace. You see, this kind of peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but true peace is found in the presence of God. It's a different kind of peace. This is not a peace that the world gives. This is a peace that comes from our Father. You will be kept in shalom, shalom, in perfect peace, when your mind is fixed on Him. And so Jesus says, "My peace I give you," and you're going to discover that when we put our problems in Jesus' hands, He puts His peace in our hearts. He puts His peace in our hearts. I don't know who it is, but there's someone here. You are tired of pseudo peace. You're tired of the peace of this world that does not last. And you're ready for a different kind of peace. It's shalom, shalom. It's the perfect peace of God. And Paul described this from a Roman prison, awaiting possible execution, when it couldn't get any worse than it was. This is what he said: don't be anxious about anything. We can just stop there. Whatever it is that's weighing on you, God's word says, don't be anxious about that. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. So that's what we're going to do. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you take what's on your heart and you give it to God, there is a peace from heaven. Listen, if you are not a follower of Jesus, you don't know this peace. Because it's a peace from heaven which the world will not, cannot understand. Somebody here, it's time to fix your thoughts on what's true. To tell the devil he's a liar, to believe the truth of God, that my God is with me and my God is for me and my God is working in every situation to bring about good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That no weapon formed against me will prosper. That my God is always good. His word is always true. His word never ever fails. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. No, in all these things, whatever you face, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody's going to put their problems in His hands, and Jesus will put His peace in your heart. He willed you something. Jesus willed you something. He could have willed you anything. Jesus could have said, "My purpose I give to you." He could have said, "My passion I give to you." He could have said, "My perseverance I give to you." But He said five words: "My peace I give you." It's the peace of God, not the world's peace. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's the peace of God, and He gives it to you. It's not a peace, it's His peace.